Good morning. We recognize that in the world there can be wars and evil. This is not the only war that's going on right now in our world, but we can have confidence because our God is still God. And even in bad times, our God is still God. You know, he didn't take last week off. That's not why this happened. He is still our God. Now, in the first service, I forgot to introduce myself, and I don't remember if I did in this one or not, but I'm Larry Paladin Jr., and it's an honor to be here. Thank you. I fear that applause is because I remembered who I was. We are talking about the book of Acts. This is the ninth week that we as a church have been covering the book of Acts. And we've covered a lot of different things that happened. And today are passages from Acts 19, but there are still nine chapters left after this one. And this is, at least rumor has it, the last one that we're doing as a church. So I'm counting on you to go ahead and read those other nine. In fact, while you're at it, you can read 19 also, because it's a good one. It is a good one. If you have a real Bible, you can open it up to Acts 19. If you don't, you can flip your phone through wherever you go to read the Bible. Now, the problem that we have as people is that we are, for the most part, selfish. We think everything is about us. You know, Phyllis married me because she thought I was so wonderful. People hang around with me because of my wit and humor. Yep. In fact, people even like me because on very rare occasions I give them stuff. Because it's all about me. And all of us feel that way. The world started the day I was born. And when I die, it's all gone. Because inside of ourselves, we are all basically selfish. We want what's good for us. And what's good for me is chocolate and Pepsi, wasting time watching Netflix. That's what's good for me, taking naps, getting paid a lot of money to do very little work. Those are all good for me. That is not God's approach to the universe, friends. And we, as the church, as God's people gathered together, are able to influence the world around us. We influence it for the good. We influence it for God's kingdom. And that's what we're addressing today. How can we touch the world around us for the sake of God's kingdom? The passage we've been concentrating on in Acts is from Acts 17:6. Acts 17:6. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Why did they think that the world had been turned upside down? Because all of us have a way that we think the world is supposed to be. I do not believe that you should drive your automobile on my grass. I have children that disagree with my view of the world, but that's my view of how things ought to be. Is it okay to punch somebody? Is it okay to slap or hug somebody? Is it okay to walk around with a mask or without a mask? Is it okay if I get a job, if I don't get a job? We all have attitudes, and I view that as our culture, the way things ought to be. And when somebody or something comes in and upsets that, our world is turned upside down. I spoke a few moments ago about how we want to put ourselves first. You know, it really is all about me. But when God gets into me, he knocks me upside down, so I realize it's not all about me. It's all about our God. It's all about others. So these people in the ancient world thought that the Christians were turning the world upside down. They were saying bizarre things like there's only one God. Saying really bizarre things like Jesus died and then was alive again. They are upsetting the world. I believe it's the role of the church to turn the cultures around us upside down so that they look more like they ought, more like they should, more like our God has said. We have been discussing the church during this teaching series. The church is the gathering of all of the believers, everybody that understands that Jesus died and rose again, and that in his death, we were forgiven. And if we're willing to say, yes, I accept that forgiveness, it's ours. The church was birthed in the worshiping and ministering power of the Holy Spirit. The church was not founded, built on that truth. The church was built on St. Peter's comment that Jesus is God and the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the forgiver of our sins. And he's God. He's the Lord. He's the boss. He's the guy in charge. That is the foundation. And the church is built on the truth that Jesus died and rose again. But the church was birthed. The church came into existence as it is today while people around worshiped and ministered in the power of God's Spirit, not in their own power, but in the power of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Once we have understood and believed that Jesus came from heaven, he is God, and that he died, and that he rose again. Once we believe that, then the Bible says we can become children of God by saying, I want to be forgiven. What I did was wrong. I repent. I'm changing the way I'm living, and I want to be forgiven, and I want to follow our God. Once we say that, the Holy Spirit's available. If you want it, if you want it and ask for it, think of going to grandma's house and asking for a cookie. Right, Mom? What are you going to get from grandma? You might get 5 cookies. God is even more generous than your grandma. If you ask, it's there. Now, in the book of Acts, we've been studying, we've heard a lot of things that happened to the believers. They had a big, long meeting and picked a new apostle. And then they had Pentecost. Pentecost was really cool. It's when the Holy Spirit fell and people spoke in tongues and 3,000 got saved. But Pentecost already happened. And even though I'm really old, I'm not that old. I wasn't there. Okay, so Pentecost. And then we have a whole series of things where the believers kept getting arrested, yelled at, beaten, thrown in jail, and were the victims of riots. I don't want to get in that line. I'm not volunteering for that beating stuff. But today we're talking about practical things that every one of us not only has the opportunity to do, but we have the power to do. And that is to touch the world around us. To touch the world around us through God's Spirit. Through God's Spirit. I'm going to talk about 5 different ways that we can do that. 5 different ways that we can impact our world. If you had a really, really neat tool that your neighbor needed, like you see your neighbor, and they need water pump pliers, and you've got them, and they're working, and they're crying, and they're fussing, and they can't get the job done because they don't have water pump pliers, but you do, what would you do with them? Would you let them use it? Would you tell them, hey, I've got a tool for that. This is good stuff. Let us see God's Spirit and the good news about the kingdom. Let us see God's Spirit as that type of tool that will help them. Now, Acts chapter 19, for those of you who have read the first verse already, starts off with St. Paul showing up at a place called Ephesus. Now, first of all, who's Paul? We've talked about Paul a lot. If you hang around church, you're going to hear people talk about Paul. Paul was an important man, but what I want all of you to catch is Paul was a fellow that used to kill Christians, and then he became one. If you say, I'm not sure about this Christianity stuff, and you want to get a handle on it, read about Paul. He used to kill them, and then he became one. That's a great story, and you can read it. But we're not going to read it right now because we'll all be late for not just lunch, but dinner. We're going to go back to Acts 19. So St. Paul shows up in a place called Ephesus. Ephesus is located in the country we now call Turkey. At Paul's time, it was called the province of Asia. And no, he was not in Beijing. He was in what we call Turkey. Ephesus was a coastal city. It was a port. It was an important city. It was a prosperous city. There was a lot of people flowing through, a lot of money flowing through. It was a place that had great beauty. The Temple of Artemis is in there, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. An astounding, beautiful building. There was a lot of stuff going on there. It was a big, prosperous city. They had a stadium that held 20,000 people. That's more than the Wolverina. They had a lot of folks. It was also a city that was extremely, I'm using air quotes here, religious. They had lots of religious stuff going on. They had everything from musicians to different faith groups. If you wanted to believe it, you could find somebody in Ephesus that would believe it with you. If you didn't want to believe it, you could still find somebody in Ephesus that believed it on your behalf. So I want you to keep in mind, super religious, but not Christian. Now, when Paul shows up, we're reading chapter 19. If you go back to chapter 18, the very end of it, it talks about another fellow that was there named Apollos. Apollos came through, and Apollos knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was our Savior and our Lord. He was the Messiah and the King. And he preached that Jesus raised from the dead. And then Paul shows up. And this is the first thing Paul finds out in verse 2. Paul said to these, he found some believers, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. A little bit of lacking theology here. You see, they knew part of what was true, but not all of it. The Holy Spirit is what we've been talking about for all of these weeks, because God's Spirit gives us the power. The Spirit works in us to change us, works through us to touch others, and works with us to make our work effective. They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. We knew that we could go to heaven and be forgiven, but we didn't know there was a Holy Spirit that gave us power. Rolling on to verse 4, Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. It says in chapter 18, these people knew about the baptism of John. Remember John the Baptist, John the Baptizer? John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Forgive me. What this is saying is that Paul did two things. First, he informed them. He told them the truth. He informed them. Are you able to inform people of the truth? You see, you show up at work and you say, hey, Wally, what's up? He says, oh, God hates me. Is that true? No. God might hate what Wally did, but God doesn't hate Wally. You're at the bank cashing your monstrous paycheck, and the teller's just kind of, you know, chit-chatting, and she said, my brother wrecked his car. It must have been fate. That's really not true. It wasn't fate. It may have happened for a thousand reasons, but it's not fate. My question is, can you inform people of the truth? Can you inform people of the truth? God loves everybody and doesn't care what you do. Well, you're halfway there. God does love everybody, but he does care what you do. He's not just the fuzzy Santa Claus, but he's actually God. Can you inform people of the truth and do it through God's Spirit? You don't knock them down, sit on their chest, and advise them, you are wrong! Can you inform them? Note, St. Paul didn't slap these guys around. He just said, oh, you don't know everything that you ought to know. And after he informed, he also imparted. He gave them something. What did he give them? He saw that they were baptized. Commercial. Baptisms next week. Water baptisms. If you haven't been baptized, years ago I was at a retreat with Pastor Keith Tusey. Many of you know Pastor Keith. He was leading it, and he said, we're going to have baptisms in 2 weeks, and everybody that hasn't been baptized needs baptized. Who here hasn't been baptized? And one of the founding members of the church went like this in the back row. He said, how did you avoid being baptized? He said, like this. Don't be that guy. Okay, commercial's over. He said, we need to be baptized. And then he saw that after baptism that they were prayed for and received the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to give that to them? Are you willing to say true things? Inform and impart. Don't just tell them, you're wrong. You sound like everybody else in the world. Explain. By the power of God's Spirit, not because you're cool or smart, even though you might be cool and smart, but by God's Spirit we're acting. Now, I've got 5 points. That's number one. These points are not in order. Like, I have to master number one, and then I can go to number two. No, we're working on all five at the same time because different tools are important for different jobs. So the first thing that we do is inform and impart. So Paul dealt with these folks, and then we roll on to verse 8. In verse 8, that's Paul, entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. The synagogue was the place where the Jews met together. This was always Paul's practice. Paul said the gospel came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. He always went to the Jews first. And he talked to them for 3 months. 3 months. And he wasn't just hanging out with them, eating coffee and donuts. He was actually boldly reasoning and persuading. Have you ever tried to share the gospel with somebody and they don't listen to you? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Think of doing that for 3 months. Paul was there regularly doing this. He invested in them. And that's my second point. You need to invest. We need to invest. When we invest, you're taking something that you've got and you are using it in hope of getting a return, but knowing you might not. Knowing you might not. You get on the bus, you put your money in. That's not an investment. You paid a fare. But when you actually invest, you're putting something at risk that you might not get anything back for. He was investing. After three months, in verse 9, we find out some things about his investment. Verse 9, but when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation. The way is, that's the phrase that they were using to refer to Christianity. Nobody knew to call it Christianity yet. It was the way. It was the way that Christians lived. 3 months, what does he end up with? Stubborn, unbelief, speaking evil. Huh. I am tempted to bail out at that point, right? I worked hard. I invested 3 months. Let's see what St. Paul did instead. He withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. Paul left and rented out the hall of Tyrannus. for real money. Paul is investing time and money. And he's talking and reasoning. He's investing his talent, the gifts that God's given him, all expecting a return because he was investing. Continuing with verse 10, this continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. 2 years he was willing to talk and care for people. He was investing. He was investing. Are you willing to invest in others? What do we have to invest? We have time, 3 months, then 2 years. We have time to invest. We have talent and ability to invest. And we have money to invest. Money to invest. The worship team today invested in us. They're a good band. I'd go hear them down at Fat Eddie's if they were playing. But that's not what they were doing. If you want a concert, you don't have to get up at this time of the morning to hear one. They were leading us into worship. They were investing in us to help us worship our God. Now, we didn't have to respond. They could have invested in us and got nothing back. But to the extent that we worshiped following them, we were responding to their investment in us. This is a little aside, but find them individually and thank them for what they did. Right. They didn't just pop in here a half hour before you and tuned up and played. They worked. They worked for years, for decades, and they're investing in us. Investment. I want to speak to everybody in the room who's over the age of 45, 45 and up. I want you to listen. Starbucks coffee is obscenely expensive. And it tastes like used motor oil. But if somebody under the age of 45 says, I'll talk to you if you buy me Starbucks, open your wallet and buy it for them. If you need to be social, buy one for you. Play with it and throw it away. Why? Because you need to invest in people. I'll talk to you if you drink Maxwell House. No! Do you want to affect the world around you, or do you want to just sit around and explain to God on the judgment day how important you are? I don't want to be around if you're doing that. Everybody under the age of 45. If you want to impact somebody over the age of 45, talk to them. Ask them questions. And I'm not saying find some nice believer who's going to tell you, oh, the Holy Ghost takes care of us. I'm saying find somebody that's not. And say, hey, what were things like when you were my age? My high school, man, things are messed up. Were things messed up in your high school? Tell me about it. Talk to me. Why? Because if you want to affect the world around you, you're going to have to invest in them. You're going to have to invest. So what did St. Paul do? He informed, he imparted, and he invested. He invested in them. Third, we're going to drop down to verse 11. Now, I am skipping parts of this chapter, but I challenge you to read all of Acts 19 today. Start to finish, all of it. And see, this is a flow. This is not Paul saying, this is how you need to act. These are examples of what St. Paul did. Examples in the Bible that are there to teach us. Impact. I want to look at the first verse. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. I would be happy if I got to do an ordinary miracle. He was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. In the words of Pastor John Schaefer, who was here last week, we're going to contextualize this. We're going to put it in context. Like, I've seen Pastor Nick's sweat rag at the end of the service. Don't lay that on me, please. What I want you to grasp is that in that city, this super hyper religious city, if you were sick, you could go down to the marketplace and you could find a little medal with somebody's imprint on it and a little note that said, wear this around your neck for 17 days and you will be healed. And you could buy it and try it. If your mother was ill, you could buy a nice ribbon, nice colors, because moms like nice colors. Nice colors on it, tie it around her wrist, because it was blessed personally by Bobby the Wizard. And she'll get well. This was where they lived. This is what they were used to. God wants to impact, touch your world in a way that makes sense to them. Because if you had bought the medal and the ribbon, you're getting kind of doubtful about this something blessed by somebody stuff. And all of a sudden, the true God shows up and says, look, I can do that. I can do that. God is not intimidated by counterfeits, by counterfeit powers. Briefly, if you'll remember the story of Moses. Moses went to Pharaoh's court. What's the first thing that happened? Moses took his staff, threw it on the ground, and turned into a snake. If Pastor Nick's doing that next week, I won't be here for the next five. I don't like snakes. But when he did that, all of the magicians threw their sticks down, and they became snakes too. They said, ha, you ain't nothing. Then Moses' stick snake ate the other snakes and then turned back into a stick. And that impressed them. You see, God is not intimidated by the fact that the world around you believes stupid things or does stupid things. God's not saying you should do stupid things, but he's saying he can meet that need that people have. Right now, there's a huge emphasis in our culture, in our American culture, on doing nice things for people. Huge emphasis on that. We need to do nice things for people too. Another commercial. Next Sunday is Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday, when we talk about what God has done through Bridge City Church during calendar year 2021, I challenge you to be here. First, I challenge you because you should be at church on Sunday morning. Amen. Second, I challenge you because this is information that will inspire and encourage you. Because they're things that our God has done. Okay, commercial's over. We can have an impact on our world, not by doing crazy magic tricks, but by meeting the needs of the world in a way that touches them and brings notice to the kingdom of God. And this impact ties in very closely to the next one that we are going to address. We're going to roll to verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those that had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. We influence our world. You see, we had just learned Paul's doing some extraordinary miracles. And people notice. Now note, in this hyper-religious world, we've got itinerant, traveling Jewish exorcists passing through. And they thought, hey, we have this new incantation. Jesus, whom Paul proclaims. They were trying to use the influence of the kingdom of God. You have influence in your group, in your peer group, in your associates. I remember distinctly the first time a lady apologized to me for swearing in my presence. I thought, you don't think I've ever heard that word before? Like, I ride pet buses. And then I realized she knew I was a believer, and she noticed that I didn't use that language. And so she said, I'm sorry for saying that. I was having an influence. Our problem is, and we're going to spin this story out in a minute, but our problem is that influence that we have must include the reason for the action. I said the world is very anxious for compassion today, that I give something, that I care for somebody that's less fortunate. And so other people say, oh, yes, I work at the food bank also. That is great, but we need to remember that we distribute food, that we pray for the sick, that we go through our neighborhoods praying for people, not because we're nice, but because of the kingdom of God. And we need to make sure that's tied together. Education is important and wonderful. We should all be improving our education, particularly about the kingdom of God, daily. But education, for the sake of education, is just filling your head with stuff that you don't need. Believe me, I have more stuff in my head than I need. But are we using our influence in encouraging education, in encouraging doing good deeds? Are we using that to expand the kingdom? Let's see what happened to these itinerant Jewish exorcists with their attempt at using this influence. Rolling on to verse 14 in chapter 19. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. They were saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Notice it's the Jesus. Not Jesus, but the Jesus. That guy. But the evil spirits answer them, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I recognize. But who are you? No one should say to us, that's nice, but why are you wasting your time? They should say to us, I know who that Jesus is, and I know that's why you're doing it. We have influence in our world, influence on the way people behave. That impact that we're making gives us an influence, and that influence needs to be directed towards our God, towards our God. To tell you the rest of the story, I encourage you to read it. These seven guys were praying for one guy. After the guy said, who are you? He beat them all up, tore their clothes off, and chased them out of the house. So you've now got seven Jewish guys running naked down the street. I don't want to be around for that either. But when somebody tries to apply the influence of God's kingdom without knowing who God is, it usually doesn't go well. We, because of the power of God's Spirit, can do well because we do the right thing for the right purpose. So, things that we do, we can inform and impart. We can invest. We can impact. We can influence. These are things that are available to all of us if we want them. And the challenge to us as believers, as Christians, is to do it. To do it. You see, God's power will work in us to do it. If we cooperate. If we cooperate. The last point that we do, that we provide, is inspiration. We're going to look at verses 17. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. First, I have to add a disclaimer. The reference at the bottom is wrong. That's because I have a hard time with numbers, big numbers, like 7 and 8. So that's solely my responsibility. So if you want to harass somebody, feel free to harass me. But I tend to ignore folks that harass me. So, what happened inspired the whole region? All the residents, all the Jews, and all the Greeks were inspired. What were they inspired to do? They were inspired to honor God. They were inspired to honor God. Continuing on to the next verse, verse 18. Also, many of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found that it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Folks that had practiced magic brought their scrolls. The scrolls were secret information that they had paid, as they say, beaucoup bucks for. People had shelled out hard cash to buy this. And what did they do now? Burn them. They didn't sell them. They burned them. They were renouncing what they had done wrong. Why? Because they were inspired to change. They were inspired by the word of God, the action of God, by what God was doing, who God is. But God was acting through the believers, through us-ins, who were acting in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acting in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can inspire others. We can invest in others. We can inform and impart to others. These are things that we can do if we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, through us, and with us to affect the world around us. To affect the world around us. It is challenging to do that. And it's fun to do that. And it is the way that God's kingdom works to do that. Now, I liked being able to preach this one today because I don't want to get in the line to get beaten and thrown in jail. But I want to get in the line to do this. Everyone in here has the opportunity to know who Jesus is, to be forgiven, to have a purpose in life, to have a Lord to follow. Everybody in here has the power to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to use that to influence the world around them. After this, we're still in Acts 19, verse 21. It says, now after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Paul spent roughly 3 years in Ephesus, affecting, impacting, informing, inspiring people, impacting them. You know, if I had that, you know, take my handkerchief and heal people stuff, I'd want to stick around a little bit. You know, that's kind of cool. But Paul understood his call. His call was to keep going. And we need to keep going also. Closing thought, I want us to look at Acts 1:8. These are the last words that Jesus said to the disciples before he went into heaven. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I've just said, that's available. It's available. Just like grandma's house and cookies. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where you are most comfortable, most happy, most at home. That's your neighborhood. That's your living room. That's your car. Jerusalem. But also in Judah. Judah's the rest of the place where you know you're welcome. You can impact them. And in Samaria. Samaria was a place where they believed there was one God, but they believed some kind of weird things about him. You can go there too. and the outermost parts of the world. That is a place like Ephesus where they believe weird things, they say weird things, they probably eat weird things too. They probably even cheer for the Atlanta Braves. You can go to a place where things are really different and still have an impact for the kingdom of God. I want to challenge you to apply the Spirit of God to your life. Use it to impact, touch, influence, inspire, invest in the world around you. What God has brought to your doorstep. It's a lot easier than getting beaten, and it's available to all. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, I thank you because you make a way for us. You make a way for us to serve you as you'd like. Fill us, God. Encourage us and let us know how to honor your name, O God. In the name of Jesus, our glorious King. Amen.